This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrieve Lead. So the Republicans continue their convention. Today is day two of 4 days. And what are you getting out of this, by the way? What is it saying to you? What is the message being communicated to you and to the rest of the world? What are we to make of the vision, if I dare use that word, of the Republicans? Donald Trump and the Republicans. Sounds like a 1950s guy band. But let's talk about that today and see whether we can make any sense of it. I haven't been able to make sense of it. It's like a lounge act, you know, people come on and they say things and then they go. And we have no idea of the continuity of the program or what in the sense of the big picture, except, of course, the message is elect Donald Trump for 4 more years and everything will be all right. But I don't get what the Republicans are selling. It is not a cohesive theme, and they're tackling things as they see fit. It looks like, you know, after the end of the day, they sit down and figure out, well, we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this, but it isn't gelling, not in my opinion. It isn't coming across as a carefully thought out program. And it isn't communicating to people. It is communicating at them. The one major point that is hammered home all the time, though, you have to give them credit for that, is that there isn't a moment where you're not reminded that this is a Trump affair. Everything is Trump. Trump is at the center of everything. The philosophy of Trump, the ownership of Trump, the wisdom of Trump. It's all about Trump. It's not about the Republican Party. Because even that has succumbed to ownership by Trump. The party is not the Republican Party. It is Trump's party. I think they will suffer for that. I think they will pay a price for having Trump essentially bogart his way and take possession of everything that the Republicans as a party set out to accomplish. He now specifically, personally owns it. That's the message that is being given. And everybody named Trump is part of the industry. The party has become the Trump industry, a possession of Trump. And therefore, there isn't very much concern about wider implications of what is going on. As long as we get the message, we the people get the message that finally Trump has laid claim to and conquered the party. It is a personal possession. And he is calling the shots. The party has ceased to be an effort of all these various aspects within the Republican Party. It is now specifically and exclusively a reflection of Trump. Trump's business endeavors, Trump's thinking, Trump's philosophy. And it is remarkable to observe how eagerly people are embracing this idea, because he deserves it. Trump is the new messiah, the new political messiah, and he has also managed to convince people within the party that everything, like Midas, everything he touches turns to gold. They'll pay for that. They'll pay for this blind allegiance to Donald Trump, because they should have gotten a hint or two by now that he is not right in his head. Donald Trump is a man in need of deep psychological counseling, psychiatric care. But if you look at history, you see how the most improbable things not only have happened, but have been enthusiastically embraced. People, you know, just love the idea of helping to promote the most bizarre people and their ways of thinking and doing things. But it's happening here now, and we're having people just joining the bandwagon as if they can't see. But the goodness is that not all Republicans are that blind. Many of them have openly now decided to denounce Trump, move away from Trump. They realize this man is completely unhinged. He needs deep psychiatric counseling and care. They believe that he has done great damage to the party and to the philosophy of the party. He has taken over everything he believes is of use to him and to his desires. And the desires have been the same since the beginning, which is to make money, more and more money, to extend his so-called influence globally. And it's really frightening when you think about it, that somebody with an idea or with a plan to do these kinds of things, you'd think people would say, get out of here. Just get out of here. But the enthusiasm, people are enthusiastic about Trump and what he calls a political philosophy, or how he sees the world. It is an amazing thing. And behind that, some people who still have their brains intact are seeing the logical extension of this, which is you not only take possession of the assets of the world, you take possession of the people themselves. Now, this sounds like something out of a science fiction book, but it is in fact happening. When this convention opened up the first day, and we saw that photograph of all the Trumps, that was not a mistake. That was to let you know times have changed. If the party doesn't want to adjust to it, that's the party's problem. But as far as the Trump organization and the Trump family are concerned, they have come into their own, into the fullness of who they are and what their potential tells them that they can do. And that is to rule the world, to own everything in it, and to get people to toe the line, whatever they say the line is. it looked just like a, you know, a basic, ordinary family-style picture, but it isn't. It is meant to put his imprimatur on what is happening now. He's laying claim to even the political philosophy of the country. It belongs to him now. The ways of doing things, those are his ways. We are more and more like him because we have submitted ourselves more and more to his influence. I just don't understand how it is that basically they've managed to get this far and this deep with this nefarious plan, but they're doing quite well with it. And people are going along and pledging their trust. But again, I look to that smaller group that used to be very, very Republican. And they are parting ways with him now. They're realizing fully this is a disaster in the making, not just for the United States, but for the world. A person of this type knows no bounds when it comes to ambition, blind ambition, and what he will do to control the entire universe. It sounds, really, it sounds amazing. It sounds like you're making this up. But look, in just 4 years, how completely, or almost completely, Trump has dominated the political life of the country and of other countries in much of the world. Here, the most outrageous things have become normal and desirable. People want to belong now to the club of Trump. They want to be acolytes of Trump. They see him as, in fact, a wunderkind, a guy who is just so gifted that he cannot be understood by mere mortals. So if you understand him, it means you're not a mere mortal. But look very carefully at the messages that are being communicated, being sent to the public about where we are at this time and where, more importantly, Trump wants to go and take us there, whether we want to go there too or not. So 888-874-4888. Have you been watching the convention with a very keen eye on the details, the symbolic values that are in play? Wherever you go in this whole thing of the convention, the messages that are cultivated and imparted to the public, if you are a smart Trump supporter. Do you see any of it? How do you interpret the atmosphere at the time? Where are we? And on what axis are we? When we see these things happening, one of the interesting cues is like I said, the people who have been for all these years dyed-in-the-wool Republicans. And they are moving away now. Many of them are moving away from this hero-worshipping position that Trump has put people in. And they're reacting sensibly and practically. They're saying, this is not the Republican Party. The decisions being made are not of the party. This is all Trump. Trump is running things, and his children are now part of the enterprise. Cherry from New York, you start us off today.
I was pleasantly surprised watching the RNC. I didn't know, I don't really watch conventions, you know, but I watched the DNC. I watched last night, and I thought the messaging was phenomenal. I found out things that I didn't know. I wasn't aware that he was a part of getting freeing 50 hostages. I knew about criminal justice reform, opportunity zones, the peace deal in the Middle East, basics. I think it presented a great informative platform for how the media paints him, but what he's really like and what he's gotten done.
Well, you don't know what he's really like, to be very honest about it. It is presented. It is presented. It is
okay,
part
so
of
then
the
why would we know what Biden's like? You can say the same thing about Biden then. You can't apply that to Biden.
I do say the same thing about Biden. All of this is about packaging the message.
Exactly.
It need not necessarily be true. It need not necessarily be factual. It is simply to catch the attention of the voting public. And hopefully it would be impressive enough to persuade people to go the next step, and that is to vote for the candidate.
Well, what
but
they presented
mean that
him
what you're
was
seeing is absolutely true. It's propaganda. It's public relations.
Well, what he's accomplished isn't propaganda. It's factual. It's
okay,
absolutely
well,
factual.
And how did you double check? You double checked it.
I know all this stuff. I've done my
No. Don't tell me you know all this stuff.
Okay, so what would you like to deny?
Have you double checked everything that has been presented?
No, I don't have to, and I don't feel the need to. I've done a lot of research on many issues, and I'm absolutely comfortable with them. But how come it's okay for Biden to have his wife on, his daughter, his son, his grandchildren, Obama's?
All right, you are calling in with an entirely different program. You want to fight. You want to fight.
I want to be able to speak.
I'm not interested in fighting and having to basically cater to you setting the tone of what I should be talking about. How come Biden isn't doing this? How come Biden isn't doing this? It betrays your position. And it is
not a neutral position
that you're taking.
I'm not betraying my position. That is my position. You're the one who makes it argumentative and aggressive.
All right.
And you cut
Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to shut you down right now.
Of course you want to.
Yes, I will. Because you are coming onto this program to spread your political, whatever it is you believe it is, your political thoughts, your political views. And you want to have a fight. And you want to use this program to basically prove how adept you are at political analysis, which you're not. You're a fraud. I can tell you that directly without a problem. And I have a habit, it's been a lifelong habit, but I have a problem engaging with people who are not at my level. And this is where I sense you going. You're trying to get me to come to your level, and I won't do it. And this is not the program to even try, to even attempt to do it. You need to, I don't mind having a discussion, but I will not allow you to presume you can lecture me about your political superiority or any other kind of superiority. You chose the wrong one. Goodbye. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Eutrice, as you spoke, all that I thought about was Dr. John Henry Clark. When he
said,
"I don't debate those who are not my equal." Now, I will say this, and you know I love you. Every now and then, people like that deserve and should get an intellectual spanking, like I know you could have if you really choose to in dealing with her, because she's not really equipped to even speak on the level in which you have over 30 years displayed to the American public in regards to journalism.
Yeah, but more importantly, I will not have this program, more importantly, I will not have the program hijacked by people who have
I don't blame you because she's not worthy. She's not worthy. But let me get to my point.
Please.
The point what we are seeing is messaging. The Trumps and his organization, like you said, which has taken over the Democratic Party, is putting forward a message that when it's usually fact-checked, it's not proven to be the truth. He's putting forward individuals to try and make it seem like he's presenting a diverse country, which it's not a diverse country in regards to his administration or the way that he deals with issues in the country. So it's basically propaganda that he's putting forward, and it's messaging, and it's going to be quite interesting how the next 3 days go to the climax when he presents a speech. But all I ask is, whenever you listen to the speakers that are presented to us this week, just fact check the information, because we are facing something, if he gets back in office, that I hope next week you would talk about the horrible decimation that he's going to place on Social Security and the benefits of Medicare, Medicaid, and these people who are voting for him that use those institutions really don't have a clue that he's going to make it to where those institutions may not longer be viable or beneficial to them and other Americans in this country. And he started it with the payroll tax. That's just the beginning that they're not catching on. And I just hope that the Democrats get their act together and put forward a better messaging on what this man is really doing. Because sorry to say, they're not doing a good job, Eutrice.
Well, thank you for your opinion. Thanks a lot for calling in. 888-874-4888. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Well, good afternoon, Eutrice. How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Me and my phones are still here. we're still here. We're still hanging. I mean, I was having a discussion with one of my mentors from WBAI days, a gentleman called Bernard White. Me and him have a friendship that goes back from the days of the Sound Gatherers. We were discussing this, and he always brings me to mental tasks to prove my views, even though he says I tend to be too emotional at the time. But what I'm saying is, first of all, this convention is directed at a specific segment of the population. If you want to crunch the numbers, 35%. 35% of the population in the swing states is what got him elected, and he knows this. He has sycophants around him, but they crush the numbers and they know. This message is directed toward that group. So whatever is presented, call it propaganda, call it spin. To me, it reminds me of I'm an amateur historian. It reminds me of the days of the Reichstag and Hitler and the brown shirts. That being said, remember that as you look at all of this, this is not for mass consumption. It is directed and focused at a particular audience, and that is the audience that he needs to get reelected. He knows that. I believe they've crushed the numbers. That being said, the Democratic Party has to get on their game if they want to win this thing, because they are not motivated. They're not even concentrating on the swing voters. They've got to get those 6 million people that voted for, those 6 million voters that voted for Obama out to vote for Biden. And Kamala Harris and his Democratic platform is not doing it. And I dread to think if this man wins again, what's going to happen? Not to say that he's some type of deity or some type of next era, but the potential is there. And we're getting into real dangerous waters with this guy. Real dangerous
waters. What do you think of this group? Well, actually, there are more than one group. There are a couple of groups that are forming now of dyed-in-the-wool Republicans who are distancing themselves. And in fact, doing more than that, they are crossing over to the other side. They have found welcome mats in the tents of the Democratic Party. What do you think about that?
They're distancing themselves, but the Democratic Party is only appealing to them because they're trying to appeal to the white voters. The base of the Democratic Party and the power of the Democratic Party is the African-American community. It's what got Biden back in the game. And that's the people that they're not speaking to. Those are the people that are going to come out and vote. They're not offering anything. They're not offering universal health care. Biden is a quote that's passing through all of Facebook now and Twitter. Things are not going to change. Biden is presenting the status quo. And like I said yesterday, this is not time for the status quo. This is time for innovative policies. This is time for new blood. This is time for new. I mean, you got to let this. What worked 50 years ago ain't going to work today. You understand what I'm saying? That's why this madman is in power. And until that is addressed, until the real, what the people really want is addressed, universal health care, secured income, housing, better education, debt forgiveness. Until those things are addressed sincerely by this party, they're lost. They're lost. This nuts message will carry. And he's got that 35% lock. And all he's got to do is kowtow to them. Look who he had. The two people that pulled guns on peaceful protesters at a convention talking about, they were the only ones that were charged. And they're talking at a presidential convention. Come on. It would be ridiculous if it wasn't so damn tragic.
I'm inclined to agree with you because I don't think, even when it is so clear that the Democratic Party cannot survive, cannot be successful without the votes of black folks and people of color generally, they're not making an effort. Like right now with this, the stimulus package, it's dead. Mm. And pretty much so many millions of people are hoping that this could get them, you know, a little bit further along, but it was taken up and it's dead. Mm. And that's it. Nothing has been said beyond, you know, what has happened to this initiative. It's dead.
Like I said, call me crazy. Call me my friend last night. I believe they want this man to win. I honestly believe it. I'm a political novice, and I can see this. I can see the message that they need to be pushing, and they're not. And I believe they want this man to win. I mean, he's talking every night, which is a good thing for the crowd he's trying to reach. It's an excellent strategy for the crowd he's trying to reach, because he's not talking to everybody. He's talking to a specific audience. His message is directed at individuals. Listen to it. Look at it. It has nothing to do with facts. The peace deal. The peace deal cuts out the Palestinians, the hostages that he saves. He made deals with people that he's been doing business with for years. This message is directed at the person, at the person who called you in the beginning. That's who this message is directed at. And that's who is saying, that's who's going to make sanguines with, and that's who's going to go out and vote. And damn, it's going to push this man over the edge.
Well, there's not much time left. And we're still seeing that the Democrats are not responding like they understand that they're in a very scary position, and that is losing this whole thing.
Yep.
They're not behaving like people who understand that.
That's why I say what I said. I mean, they're acting like, hey, okay. And I know, and because it's the elite, it's because it's the ruling class, they won't be that affected. I mean, Nancy Pelosi's a millionaire. Chuck Schumer's a billionaire. Mm-hmm. Even Joe Biden, who went back to the basement now. I mean, come on. They didn't even get a convention bump with Kamala, and he goes back to the basement while this guy's speaking every freaking night. It starts to piss you off after a while. It really does.
It really is quite it's something to see, because there's no logical explanation for it. You know what I mean? It's not something that you can say, you know, you have a handle on. Why is it that people are choosing to behave this way when the stakes are so high and so much against them? You'd think that they would have a different attitude.
Listen, I came up in the streets. You know, I came up in South Jamaica. My family wasn't rich. You know, we hand them out sometimes. And when you come up like that, you see what you see, you know? There's no rose-colored glasses or nothing. You see what you see. They laying down. And the only reason they lay down because they want to lay down. They're happy with the status quo, and they're willing to let this guy do what he does. I don't know how far they'll let him go or if they'll be able to stop him if he does achieve another 4 more years. But they're happy with the way things are. And if you look behind the scenes, you really start to see what's going on. The judges, the laws, how the environment's being compromised, how business is doing well. Calvin Coolidge said it 100 years ago, true today. The business of America is business. And as long as business is fine, screw the people. We forward on.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in. Thanks for contributing today. 888-874-4888. What are the messages that you're getting from the Republican National Convention right now? What are you getting? Where do they intend to go? Where do they intend that the people should go? Are you comfortable with what you're feeling as you see more and more of the Republicans, as I said, the high-profile, die-hard Republicans, have reconsidered their position and are reconsidering their position and moving away from Trump, moving away from this iteration of the Republican Party. They don't like it. It doesn't resemble the party that they've been supporting all these years. We see a Republican Party buffeted by all kinds of investigations and probes, crimes, criminal activity, and coming from the president, no less. We have this president literally under the gun fighting all these different attempts to investigate these various aspects of his life and his businesses. The suspicion being that, you know, he has routinely violated the law, and he's gotten away with it. And not only has he gotten away with it, he's thumbing his nose at the rest of us, saying, "You can't control me. You can't make me lose. I know what I'm doing." And yes, You may disagree, but that's your problem. I'm proceeding with my plan. And my plan is to plumb the resources, the depths of the resources of this entire country, and use it as I see fit for my benefit. It's as simple as that. The family reflects the same philosophy. They have learned how to rip off other people's assets and create wealth for themselves. And with that, it's not that they're smart or especially gifted or anything. They're just well-positioned to do what they're doing, and they are taking full advantage of it. 888-874-4888. It is a bit disconcerting when in your own mind you can see where this is going, and it's not a good place. But the Democrats and even some of the Republicans themselves are okay with where things are going. And I don't know how they expect us to come out of a situation like that and enjoy the results. And I don't know how they expect that to happen. All right, let's take this break and come back to your questions at 888-874-4888. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. We're talking about what we are observing unfolding before our very eyes, and it doesn't look like anything that we only a short while ago we would have embraced and supported. Lincoln from Yonkers, you're on the air.
Vernon, yes, hello, Dietrich.
Hello.
Yes, I am seeing a little bit different perspective. Like, I watched Trump's speech last night, and what I saw was he was itemizing things that the mainstream media purposely, things that he has accomplished that the mainstream media purposely avoids. And the buffeting that you say he's undergoing, it's really the continuation of the coup, which started even before he became president. So, because everything they try has failed. The Russiagate, which we know is a big lie. Ukraine, which should have been Biden's downfall. And we seems like even the people, this audience, I am amazed. It makes me realize that it doesn't seem like we're able to objectify when we don't like someone. And I'm not a Trump supporter, but I can objectify. And his speech last night was specifically itemizing all the things he has accomplished. And he has accomplished some things. He was also showing things that he accomplished that a black president did not accomplish for black people. You know, he showed, you know, what he had done for the HBCUs, which Obama refused to do by saying, I'm president for the whole of America. Yes, he was president for the whole of America. Until it got to the gay rights business, he didn't say, I'm president for all of America, when it came time to push unnatural marriage on people, you know. So I think Trump is doing no less than what the rest were doing. The Democratic convention was nothing but empty speeches, you know, empty flowery speeches. Obama's speech was so empty. But because it was Obama, they listened to him. Trump's speech had more depth than Obama's speech. It had more specifics. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening. I'm listening to you.
Yeah. You know, and I'm saying this not as a proselytizing for Trump, but I refuse to do like everyone else, hide behind Trump's buffoonery. And he's not an idiot. If you listen to him, they say people said he speaks like a first grader. No, the guy has mastership of the language, and but he's one of those. He don't need to show off that he understands.
Listen,
he can
listen,
use the language.
Listen. Now, here's where I'm going to tackle you. Trump is very average. He is very average. He looms large because he can buy the support that he needs. He has to be, Trump can't write a speech if his life depended on it. We know that.
I disagree with you from this point of view. If you notice, when Trump speaks, contrary to almost all the speakers, including Obama, Trump leaves the script. He's comfortable leaving the script, like he'll say
because
something, and then he'll make a comment on the speech that was written. He's more spontaneous than any one of them.
He does not read. He's not a reader. He's
not
an intellectual in that sense. I'm telling you, when have you seen Donald Trump, except when it absolutely calls for it and there's some major implication for if he should mess up, so he sticks to the script?
He's more because he has the ability to be extemporaneous.
But I'm not deciphering Trump. He has enough money. If he needs somebody to write a speech for him, as they all do, they hire somebody to write a speech, and that's what they do.
Yeah.
Trump is no exception. He is no exception. I dare you to show me a speech that Donald Trump has written from beginning to end about anything important.
Actually, most of this, like even what he was speaking of yesterday, even if that was written for him, it was all true. I want to point out something, Yutris, and this is not to fight with you. I'm going to show you something. I think even you're not being objective when it comes to Trump. And here's why I say that. You know, you had on a lady from Puerto Rico, and you had accused Trump, what's his name? The black man, the doctor, was Ben Carson, of not following through on the housing thing. And your interview with that Puerto Rican lady showed that all of what you said before she came on was false about Ben Carson, because it wasn't because of Ben Carson why Puerto Rico is in the condition it is in. It's because of mismanagement that woman proved in the interview.
Wait a minute. She's a journalist. She's a journalist.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's not that lady. She's a journalist. Ben Carson, to my
journalist.
Mind, Ben Carson should have stayed in his lane, an excellent brain surgeon for many, many years. What possessed him to go into housing is beyond me, but I do see the use that he was to the Trump administration. He is outrageous in his incompetence. There's no question about it.
That's not what I was addressing, though. I was addressing what you had said about that he was responsible for the crisis in Puerto Rico, and that your interview with that woman showed that what your preface before she came on showed that you were incorrect. It was
No. Wait a minute.
She said that they did get the money, but the money was mismanaged.
Could I have a word in edgewise?
Yeah.
You
mm-hmm.
think so? Okay. Ben Carson's job should have been, because everything was in place for him to do it, would have been to make housing a major accomplishment in this country. He did not do that.
But we're talking about Puerto Rico. I'm talking about Puerto Rico right now. Your interview with that lady, that's what I'm talking about.
The United States, as last as I looked. And anywhere there's public housing, it's in crisis. Under a black man. This is outrageous. You have the capacity, the ability, you have a budget. He has not done a good job. He continues to underperform.
I agree with that, but I was still addressing what you said about Puerto Rico and how you blamed him for it. And your interview with that woman showed that you were incorrect.
I still blame Carson for it. Why? Because he had the whole department under his guidance. Did nothing. There are people in Puerto Rico today there are more than 86,000 people without roofs.
And the lady said it was due to corruption. It was not
due to
she said they got the money and it was due to corruption.
But you're not listening to me. I can't get a word in edgewise. We're not having a conversation. And I don't want to have a monologue. You have charge of one of the most critical resources in life, which is housing. And you failed spectacularly at that. There are people in Louisiana from the last flood. They still haven't gotten their compounds dry. They still haven't gotten roofs on their houses. What is the reason? There is no reason.
Katrina, when those barges, that thing broke in Louisiana, it's no different.
Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
You have a counter explanation. There is no explanation for why 86,000 people do not have their roofs since the last hurricane in Puerto Rico.
And your guest told you the reason why. She said they got the money. She said it was due to corruption in Puerto Rico.
But he
mismanagement
is in
of
charge.
The money.
He is in
your
charge of it.
Your guest said that.
He is in charge of it.
No, she said
the buck stops with him. I don't care what anybody says. The buck stops with him. You are in charge of housing. That's what you chose. You are in charge. There is no explanation for why we have not one hospital that is equipped and safe to take care of people the coronavirus or any other major disease, because you haven't overseen your program appropriately.
No, because they are trying to use coronavirus as a coup.
I do not want to hear because you're in charge. You are in charge. Make it work. That's your job. I don't want to hear because nothing. You have the resources allocated. You have the money to spend and get it done. And I'm supposed to now be satisfied to talk about because you're in charge. It means if it's not done, you are incompetent. You are responsible. There's no because. Next thing people say, they didn't print up enough money.
But it is occurring, but this is occurring in a specific environment. And this is in the environment of the attempt of an overthrow.
My blood pressure is going to go up because you're not making sense.
I am making sense.
You're dismissing the sense I'm making.
You are dismissing the sense I'm making.
No, I'm not. I'm very.
That's
very
what you're doing, you
three.
And you are excellent at doing that. You're very adept at doing that.
No, it is. You tell me what could possibly be the reason that after all these years, it still remains an incomplete and undone project. And people are living in primordial circumstances.
No different from the primordial circumstances that people are existing in Baltimore under the Democratic control. No different than what's going on in Chicago.
Don't insinuate that I have a special sympathetic heart for Democrats. I don't. The Democrats who fail the people and the Republicans who fail the people, they fail the people. That's right. What I'm concerned about. I don't care.
Me too.
So therefore we should visit
the subject in a balanced way.
Look. You're missing the point.
I'm not missing the point. No, I'm not.
Then we can't speak any further to each other because there is no point of speaking to a wall. I'm not in the habit of speaking to a wall. If you take that position and you hold on to it for dear life, well, I wish you well. But I can't and won't engage with that because it's useless. We get nowhere when you have erected your wall and it's impenetrable because you're holding to this position. There's no other way to see it, and that's it. Goodbye. Goodbye for today. We'll pick it up another day. Thanks for calling in. Look, people have these deep-seated ideas that, I mean, they hold these positions that are very dear. I understand that. I do too. But when you can't or you won't move beyond where you stand, there's no point in having a conversation. I'll be wasting my time and raising unnecessarily my blood pressure. That's ridiculous. I'm not talking about what the Democrats did and what the Republicans did. They all did bad and wrong things. They all did. And are still doing it. And I have called, but this is my history. I have no problem calling it as I see it. This goes back to my very first days in journalism. I took on things that not even the New York Times would take on. And people who read my newspaper, people who know my voice know, I make no distinctions at all. You're doing wrong, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to call you out on it. Because people are suffering needlessly. They're suffering and there's no recourse. And so it becomes a generational curse. They can't do better. Their children won't do better. Their grandchildren won't do better. Why? Why are we to accept that? Why must we accept that Puerto Rico was without a hospital to provide any kind of competent or comprehensive care for people with coronavirus? Why is that acceptable? Why is it acceptable that they don't have running water? No, not acceptable. We'll join each other again tomorrow and talk about some more unacceptable things. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for calling in.